Good morning. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're continuing our Advent journey, this journey towards Christmas, as we light the final candle in the Advent wreath, the candle of love. And as we do so, we remember also the hope, peace, and joy of Advent as well, all of which are ours in Christ. You see, when I think of hope, peace, joy, and love, the reality of my life is that sometimes, I don't have a lot of those things inside of me. There are days when it feels like that tank is empty and the only place that those things are going to come from is from Christ. The reality of the Advent season is that as we dwell on these themes, we recognize that they come to us in Jesus Christ. And one of the great blessings of the Advent season is the invitation to each and every one of us to slow down, and abiding in Christ, we dwell on the idea and the reality of these spiritual gifts given to us and worked in us by the Holy Spirit of God. In the midst of a season that encourages us to speed up and focus on the material gifts of the Christmas season. But one of the other blessings of the Advent journey is how profoundly human it is. We don't just dwell on these spiritual themes, but we also walk with Mary and Elizabeth, Joseph and Zechariah, through the months of anticipation, through the story of the anticipation of the coming of this child that would be known as Jesus, this one who was the prophesied Christ and Savior. These are very human stories, stories of hope and anticipation, stories with ups and downs, stress and anxiety, peace and joy, all mixed together. And it is into that complicated human reality that the baby Christ is born. Christ comes into their lives just as he comes into ours, with the message of God's definitive word of love for us. Love revealed in Jesus. During Advent, we explore the events leading up to the birth of Jesus and the ripple effect. That ever since that day, something happened and the world has never, ever been the same. Even when I was a kid, when we used to study history, they talked about it in terms of B.C. and A.D., right? Before Christ and Anno Domino, in case you were curious. This is Latin for the year of our Lord. These days they try and go with B.C.E., but I know what they're really talking about. I know what happened 2,024 years ago that was a change in this entire world, this entire experience of history. And so when you try and sell before the common era, you're not slipping one past me. Because here we are 2,000 years later, living on the other side of the world, and we are still living in the reality of the incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That God became man, the Word made flesh, to dwell among us. In today's text, we see what may perhaps be the very first recognition that this baby growing inside Mary was the Lord. A revelation revealed by the Holy Spirit that the one that the world had been waiting for, the Lord, had come near. And that's the unavoidable reality of Christmas. That in Jesus, God himself is coming near to each and every one of us. And as Christ comes near, we get a beautiful picture of the incredible love that God has for us. So as we look at today's text in the Gospel of Luke, I want to draw our attention to something that would easily slip by. if you weren't keen to some of the cultural dynamics of the time of Jesus. You see, one of the real distinct flavors of the Gospel of Luke is how often he highlights the testimony, witness, and example of women of faith. And this would have communicated a really powerful message to that first hearer or those first readers of his gospel, because in the Greco-Roman world, women were seen as sort of second-class citizens. And oftentimes, they were considered more the property of their family or their husband than full citizens. So much so that the testimony of a woman was not admissible in court. Isn't that wild? They say, women are unreliable and hysterical, and so you can't take the things that they say seriously. This is what the Romans believed. And yet, time and time again, Luke gives the example and testimony of women center stage in his account of the gospel, in his account of Jesus' life. And this is, in fact, one of the strong pieces of evidence that suggests the historical reliability of Luke's account. Because if Luke was going to make things up about Jesus, he'd probably make sure that powerful and influential and authoritative men were the one telling the story. Don't you think? And yet in today's story, Luke shows how God actually silenced Zechariah the priest, a man who would have been a man with authority and standing in the culture. And then he worked through the witness of his wife Elizabeth, of her cousin Mary, and in fact, even through the witness of the unborn child that would be known as John the Baptist. In a moment of truth that still rings out today, that Christ the Lord has come near. And in this story, a pregnant Mary visits her relative Elizabeth, who is also pregnant, with the child who would become known as John the Baptist, and the one who was going to prophetically prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And as Mary comes into that place and greets Elizabeth, it says that John leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And now I've seen, a baby move around in a pregnant belly before. You know, I've got three kids, but this idea of a child leaping in the womb, that's pretty serious, isn't it? And it says that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. This baby within her is leaping with joy because they've recognized something important, something that the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to them. That this baby growing inside Mary's womb wasn't just an ordinary child. It was the one that they had been waiting for. The one foretold in the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures, the Messiah. And in this meeting of these two women, really, the whole world was on the edge of something incredible. That in their presence, God was in the process of revealing his love to the world, to us. And he does so through this entirely human story. Pregnant cousins meeting, visiting a family member outside of Jerusalem. Now, I think that this up here is just like such an amazing depiction of this event. So often, I'm preparing for a sermon, I'm going to Google, I'm looking up pictures that we can put up here. And so many of the ones of this event, this meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, it's these like semi-angelic haloed, they're like floating halfway off the ground. And it's so unrelatable because that's like not me at all. I don't have a halo. I'm not this like exalted saint. But in this picture, you see the joy and the delight. And it reminds me that Jesus comes to people like us. People who don't float around with a halo, but who experience the joys, the hardships of human experience. It is into that world that Christ came. It's a reminder that God shows up to love normal people like us in all of our humanity, in all of our ups and downs, our sins and imperfections. A reminder that into a great darkness, a light has shone. In our text from 1 John chapter 4, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." If you want to know what love looks like, look to Christmas and look to Jesus. Here, let's put that slide back up there. This is how God showed his love. We know how he did it. We know how he did it. He sent Jesus. If you want to know what love looks like, you look to Jesus then. Because we live in a world, you can pull it down. We live in a world that has a lot of opinions and a lot to say about what love is, don't we? It's a word that gets thrown around an awful lot. And yet the truth is that when a word can mean anything, it ends up not meaning much at all. But we don't have to wonder what love is. We don't have to wonder what it means or what it looks like, because the author of love has shown it to us. This is love, that we were first loved by God, that he sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This gift of love is real. It's also, it's not like an abstract or ethereal idea. You know, love isn't this lofty concept that just sort of like floats around in the air. And by spiritual discipline and meditation, we can grasp it. No. It entered into the house of Elizabeth in the womb of Mary 2,000 years ago. That's what love did. Love was born into a manger in Bethlehem. Love hung on a cross so that we could be forgiven. Love did it for us, that we could be redeemed, washed clean, and made whole. We know what love is when we look at Jesus. And in fact, 1 John 4 says that we know that God is with us when we live like Christ. It's love that's shown to us, and then a love that shines through us. Advent love is not about warm and fuzzy feelings. It's not about feelings that kind of come and go depending on how we feel today. Love does not depend on how you feel about God, about other people, about ourselves even, or the circumstances that we are experiencing on any given day. Love is not dependent on those. Love showed up for us and continues to show up for us faithfully in Christ, no matter how we feel about ourselves, no matter how loving I do or don't feel about others, the love of God is not compromised. It's faithful, it's sufficient, and it was given to us in Jesus Christ. Was poured out richly and without end through the ups and downs of life. We know that God is faithful. And 1 John goes on to say, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." And later in today's passage, we love each other because he first loved us. know, the incredible thing about this love, you know, it's a love that is known and experienced in Christ, and sharing it, it doesn't diminish it, it makes it grow. Sometimes we kind of have this like scarcity mindset. You know, if I give something of mine, then I don't have it anymore. And maybe we even think about our love like it's like a glass of water. And if I pour some into your cup, then you have some now, but I have less. And so we hold back from others. But that's not what love is like. Love is a lot more like the candles that we light as we prepare to sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. And it started at Christ. And as Christ puts that light, that flame of love in us, and we share it with others, it doesn't diminish, it only grows. It's a flame that can be shared over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't grow less. In fact, the only thing that happens is that as we share that love, that light grows. Because God loves us, we can love others with a love that shines like a light shining in the darkness, bringing a message of hope, peace, joy, and love that are ours and ours to share in Jesus. See, we know the love of God because Jesus came. He came 2,000 years ago to show the fullness of God's love for his people and his creation. And the truth is that he comes to us right now. He comes to you. Right here today, when you respond to the invitation to come to this table, the Lord's table, when you take hold each time of that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ broken for you, shed for you, you can know that God's love is yours. As surely as you hold that bread in your hand, as surely as you hold that cup, God's love is yours. He gives it to all who come. You know that he loves you because he came into this world and laid down his life for you. And on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I want you to hear it. My prayer for today was that the Holy Spirit would open up our ears, would open up our hearts to hear that message and to receive that message today, that we, that I, that you, you're loved by God. You really are. And in a few short days, when we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the Word of God made flesh and dwelling among us, the light of the world shining in darkness to give life to all, I want you to remember that he came for you because he loves you. Amen. Please stand.